Welcome to Inclusion Bites, your sanctuary for bold conversations that spark change. I'm Joanne Lockwood, your guide on this journey of exploration into the heart of inclusion, belonging, and societal transformation. Ever wondered what it truly takes to create a world where everyone not only belongs, but thrives? You're not alone. Join me as we uncover the unseen, challenge the status quo, and share stories that resonate deep within. Ready to dive in? Whether you're sipping your morning coffee or winding down after a long day, let's connect, reflect, and inspire action together. Don't forget, you can be part of the conversation too. Reach out to joe.lockwood@seachangehappen.co.uk to share your insights or to join me on the show. So adjust your earbuds and settle in. It's time to ignite the spark of inclusion with Inclusion Bites. And today is episode 114 with the title, Kinks and All. And I have the absolute honour and privilege to welcome Sarah Naylor. Sarah is the businesswoman who until last year ran a recruitment agent and also a writer, author and podcast host in her spare time, I guess. When I asked Sarah to describe her superpower, she said it is her ability to be herself, embracing all of her kinks, wrinkles, foreboils, and constantly seeing the positives in everything. Hello, Sarah. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Joe. And thank you so much for inviting me along. Absolutely thrilled and honoured to be here. It's absolutely brilliant. And when I just heard you repeating my intro, then I thought I ought to change that word because foibles sounds like furballs, and I generally don't have furballs.
But foibles are good.
Foibles. I don't have foibles either. It sounds like the old Ronnie Corbett sketch. Can I have four candles, please?
It's interesting you you focused on the word foibles and not the word kinks.
Wow.
So tell me about this. Tell me about your kinks and all.
Oh, right. Well, I think personally, I mean, let me rewind some, I don't know, 19 years or so post-divorce as I embarked and recognised, I should say, the opportunity to kickstart my life and recreate my life and have a second opportunity at it in this lifetime. And I kind of went on a real fast track personal development journey. I felt like a sponge. I was like absorbing absolutely everything. And there was stuff that I'd always been aware of, but once at the time during my sort of marriage years, I wasn't aware of because of the situation I'd found myself in. However, as I started to embark on dating again in my having my 20s in my 40s, if you like, and just sort of saying yes to stuff and going out into the world, which I hadn't done post having had my son 6 years prior to getting divorced. I'd not been out. I'd not got a social circle. I'd not got a network. And so I was really exploring everything. And that included, you know, me, who I was, who I am, and unlocking, you know, who I am. And that is all your kinks, your foibles, your furballs, your, you know, your wrinkles. And in terms of the kinks, you know, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, let's start to talk about sex. Let's talk sex. Why not? You know, and understanding what turns you on, what appeals to you. You know, that's about understanding who you are as a person and what you enjoy. And you can only find that out by doing a bit of exploration and embracing those sort of elements of kink. And, you know, what is kink? Kink is something that is not deemed mainstream. It's not deemed the norm. It's something that's a little bit that the normal people would say is out there. But when you're out there, it's quite normal, if that makes sense. You know, it's about embracing who you are. And when you start to do that, this is where the sort of acceptance of the self, acceptance of others, acceptance of, you know, just generally accepting people for who they are, but that comes from accepting yourself as well. Because until you start to accept who you are and what things that you like and what things that you don't like, what control do you have when actually you do have control over your behavior because you aren't your behavior, but it's about going on that journey about finding out who you are, what you like, what you love doing, And that comes into those kinky bits too, because, hey, you know, it's good. It's, why not? Why not? I like wearing latex. You know, I've got a latex account with 62,000 followers that I set up a couple of years ago for fun. You know, it's great. It's lovely. You know, I'm most of my time in jeans. I'm in lycra or jeans and don't wear any makeup. Every sort of 4 to 6 weeks, we get dressed up in latex and take some photographs, have some fun, share it. And it's all above board. It's just fun. You know, people want to take it another stage, they can do. You know, we just have, me and my partner, we have fun getting dressed up. And yeah, it's kinky. Some people like feet. Some people like hands. Some people like hunter welly boots, you know. There are all nature of kinks out there, but embrace yours and have fun. Oh, that was a long answer.
I'm loving it. It I was thinking about the word kink, and you used the word normal people, and I'm thinking, actually, whoever we can describe normal as, normal people have kinks. Normal people have things they will never talk about. They won't share. They're embarrassed. Yeah. Or they're private things in their own bedroom with a partner or more than one partner, or in their own time. So, yeah, I think we all have something in our heads, an alter ego, a fantasy. Mm-hmm. It's just that some people are able to share that to the world, as you do with your Instagram site, and some people aren't. So why are we so afraid to talk about these, yeah, as you say, kinks?
I think it's because it's society, it's other people's impressions, you know, and it's always, people get fearful, people get worried about what people will think about them, you know, and this is where the acceptance of the self comes in, because once you start to accept yourself for who you are, you become more resilient, and what other people think is irrelevant. And if they don't like it, it's their stuff. It's not for you to change. It's not for you to change to appease anybody else. And if we can we move away from the word kink or kinks, but literally just look at people being themselves, identifying with who they are, understanding what they are and who they are and what that looks like to them. Once you identify that, you're going to live a happier and healthier life as a result. But as you start to, if you start to keep on changing who you are to appease other people, that's never going to work. You're going to be out of alignment. You're not going to be happy. You could end up with sort of different ailments and problems and issues and things like that that are going to cause you dis-ease. You know, you're going to be not in flow with yourself. You're going to be out of your flow. And when you're in flow, it's when you've accepted yourself. And then when you come into the kinks, if you're accepting those, if you don't want to share them with the world, that's absolutely fine. But it's understanding and accepting it within yourself. And that is the part of that exploration and understanding about who you are, but not being fearful. And that's why I stepped out, really, to walk my talk, because I've always been, and part of my whole ethos in terms of my coaching practice, my way of being, and people that come into my orbit, I love encouraging other people to be exactly who they are. Don't worry about what other people think, because that is just their stuff. We're all on this planet to learn. We're all in this planet to have this lifetime that we have pre-selected, I believe, to come in and experience. And unless we deal with what's delivered to us, we won't progress. And it's that old adage of, you know, if you keep doing the same thing, you get the same results. So if you keep on wanting a different life, but you're not making any changes, and you're stuck in that mode of trying to please Bill, Jane, or whoever it is, because you think that they'll like you more if you be who they want you to be, but you'll never appease them, because they will always want you to be something else. But you've got to be you for who you are. Then you'll attract the people into your life who want to be around you for who you are, not because you are who they want. They want, yes, you know what I mean. I'm getting wrapped up around my words, but you know, I've got an issue, unfortunately, with my son, who thinks that I should behave a certain way, and I won't. You know, it's been difficult. It's been very, very hard, but I've had to stand my ground. As a result, we've not spoken for a year, but I cannot be dictated to by my son as to how I should live my life, because my life is my life and your life is your life. How you want to live it is entirely to you. And as long as you are living your life for you from a heart-centered perspective, and you are not doing anything overtly, deliberately, on purpose to hurt or upset or offend anybody, then that is all your business. You be you. Because you are going to forge a way for change for other people. I know from doing my, you know, my account, other people have gained confidence in wearing sort of latex or being themselves more so because, you know, they can, once certain people start to see you doing something, then it makes it more accessible to them as well. So it's really important that we aren't all sheep, you know, and we're not, I don't want to be Barbie. I don't want to be Ken. I don't want to be a cutout, you know, reproduced item. I am me. You know, I remember going back into the 90s and working for international actually recruitment business, and then wearing, then sort of starting to wear a trouser suit. Now we're talking about I had to conform to, you know, I was a Kelly girl and I had to wear, you know, skirts and a blouse and sort of little heeled shoes, that kind of thing. And I thought, no, I'm going to wear, you know, I want to wear trousers. I bought, you know, a really nice silk brown trouser suit. So I wanted to wear trousers. I thought, yeah, come and beat me up with a stick. You know, I don't, you know, I've not got a problem with the guys wearing skirts. Really, who says what we should wear? Seriously, who is it that makes up these rules? And what is it about a skirt being a skirt in one language and actually it being something completely different in another language? You know, a kilt is a skirt. You know, a long dress in some religions is called something, but in this, no, it's just ridiculous. Wear what you want to wear and be happy. You know, seriously, folks, just be yourself. Does it really matter? Who cares, really?
But there's still, you talked about yourself, you know, there's kind of two demons at play in this sort of thing, isn't it? There's the embracing yourself. Mm-hmm. And allowing yourself to be, explore the different sides of you, your kinks, your identity, your sexuality, mm-hmm. your hobbies, whatever it may be. And then the other side of that is sharing, being able to share that with other people. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we can indulge ourselves as a private thing, whatever that may be, but to tell our others. And you mentioned the fact your son doesn't embrace the whole you at the moment. I mean, I've been through a stage of my life where my daughter didn't embrace the whole of me. And that took a couple of years to work its way out and to resolve when we're there now. But that fear of judgment, that fear of rejection, that fear of loss, that fear of getting it wrong, that fear of losing something is really, really powerful and keeps people in their box, in their lane and behind the wardrobe.
It can do, yes, if you allow it to. And now this is the key, is understanding you are in control of your behaviour. If you can recognise that it is that fear, as you've called it, but we have control over how we experience the world. But once you actually recognise it for what it is, I mean, I've done a lot of somatic healing because of all the stuff that kicked off for me personally last year that was off the back of my son. I had a lot of other things. Everything was ambushed me all at the same time last year. I survived. I'm still here. And the fear is something that we had back. If we go back historically to living in caves, you've got to have that fear to stop you from running out and getting eaten by a bear. And in these days, it stops you from really running out in front of a bus. And you know, it's about being mindful about that level of fear. But fear is something that you can create in your own mind. But once you actually recognize it, it's like, what is the worst that can happen? Seriously, what is the worst that can happen? If it happens, you deal with it. But it's not allowing it to freeze you. It's about thinking about what response that you, not response, what outcome you want and how it portrays. What you put out is what you get back. So if you're projecting fear, you will attract stuff in that is going to be negative and fearful. When I first opened up my Instagram account, I got some horrific, horrible comments, and it's just like, and it's hurtful, you know, it is hurtful. And then he's like, no, let me get out of my own way with this. This is somebody sitting behind, you know, a blank screen. They're not presenting themselves, they're not stepping out of their comfort zone, they're just sitting there trolling to make themselves feel better. And actually that's quite sad, because they're clearly deeply sad inside, that they feel that by casting aspersions at other people, that is going to make them feel better because they project. What happens is people transfer that stuff to remove it from them. And if you accept it, you're helping them. But actually, if you put boundaries in place and go, no, so I would report, block, delete, because you don't want it resonating. The minute I see a negative comment, I just delete it. I could respond. Occasionally, I get drawn in to respond. I go, Sarah, no, you're just wasting your energy because these people want to draw on your energy. They want to siphon it. They're energy vampires. They want to suck you in to make themselves feel better. No. Do you know what? I've got an amazing array of friends these days from having 19 years ago, having started from scratch, literally starting from scratch. I got any real friends. One friend had moved to France, one friend was travelling India, and one friend was in Wiltshire or something like that. Those were the only people that kind of loosely got as friends. But I kick-started my life and have built it up to where it is today. And I've got friends and contacts globally, and they're brilliant people. And they're people like yourself, Joanne. You know, they're people who want the best for the world. They want a better outcome. They want the world to be a better place. And that's why you're doing what you're doing. It's why I do what I do. It's through my coaching. I've got my own podcast. I'm not on Insight Timer as well. I'm creating content on there. And it's all for the greater good. You know, I want people to be happy. I want people to know that they don't have to live the life that they are living. You can change. You can put a new program into your mindset. You go, actually, do you know what? No. You can, once you hear that monkey chat, you go, no. I mean, just no, no. What do I want? And it's reframing it, rewording it in a positive manner, using positive scenarios in situations. You know, it's tricking your subconscious. There's the old phrase of fake it till you make it. But there's a truth in that, because if you step into, you were starting to talk about the quantum now, if you step into that energy flow that is the quantum, because there's a myriad of potential opportunities for you depending on what decisions you make. But actually, if you perceive what you actually want to do in the future, you can, and start to act like it's happened already, then it will attract its way in. But if you constantly think of all the negative stuff, all you'll end up doing is dragging yourself down, giving other people your energy, and feeling like a little sort of lost hope in the corner, which is fine. It might be part of your learning. But if you want to progress, you've actually got to take action.
You've just said, yeah, I completely resonate with. And I actually did an interview on GB News yesterday discussing a fairly high-profile employment tribunal case against a teacher who would not respect one of his transgender pupils. So I went on GB News. I put it on Facebook afterwards. And so my friends on Facebook were all kind of like, oh, wow, I couldn't have gone on there. Wow, you know, so other trans people I know, would you want to go into that den of iniquity for? Would you want to go into, you know, bathe in the GB News area? And so most of the people I knew who are my friends were kind of in, I wouldn't do that. That's too scary for me. How could I possibly put myself out there? And of course, then I went to the GB News website and looked at all the comments that were developing under the, and I thought, it's almost like playing hate bingo, isn't it? You go, oh yeah, tick, you got that. Yeah, oh yeah, we got that one, tick, thank you. Oh, and that one. Oh, you missed one. Oh, yeah. And I popped onto Twitter this morning. I thought, oh yeah, here's the rest of the comments on Twitter. And I thought, they're all predictable. And I've kind of got a policy there. You know, I get trolled on YouTube, my channels, everywhere I go, I get trolled on it, and to some degree, TikTok. And I've kind of developed this kind of, I just leave it. I leave the comments there because other people need to see them as well. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's people who are positive towards me, towards what I do and how I do it, need to see my lived experience about what I wake up to. Mm-hmm. And what my notifications on my phone pop up. They jump into my head all the time. So I can frame it as graffiti and just drive past it and ignore it. I don't internalize most of it, because most of it, they don't know me. It's not personal. It's just, they're just saying grr to the world, aren't they? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but it does take a little bit of personal, and I'm going to say the word courage, whatever that may be, vigor, determination, confidence, to be able to do this. And mm-hmm. most people step back and go, oh, wow, I could do what you do. And that's the barrier a lot of people face, isn't it?
It is. I think there's a lot to do with if we're coming back down to sort of spirit and soul, it depends where you are on your soul journey. And I think, you know, there are different levels of, you know, how many lifetimes, what you've lived through, what you want to learn. And then some people come into the lifetime to trigger other things in other people. So the stuff that people do, I mean, it's a hard one to sort of digest, but people that do things that are bad, then are creating it as an opportunity for other people to learn, to evolve and to get, you know, go through that. So that they are playing their part in this. I mean, it's just a big computer game. I'm convinced we're in a big computer game, you know. I really do. It's like, yeah. Who knows? Do you know what? This is a funny thing. I've gone completely off topic now, but I watched a documentary many, many years ago, and it really sort of struck a chord with me because I saw it was about the water coming back to some big desert area or canyon or something like that in the States. And I thought, you know, you're sort of talking about microcosms and, you know, sort of whatever. Yeah, that pot of water, you know, let's say it's like a plate full of water. To that plate full of water, those microscopic animals, I don't know the word.
Yeah, organisms, microbes.
Organisms, that'll whatever, do, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Organisms as opposed to orgasms, that's something else. We'll go back to sex afterwards. But organisms in the water, for them, what they can see, that is their world, isn't it? That is their world. But actually, that pot of water is just, as it gets bigger, it gets bigger, it gets bigger. And they are just within a big pond. Then it becomes a lake, it becomes an ocean, it becomes... But they have no concept of anything beyond that. And aren't we the same as that? We are just this little dot in this huge, huge context of everything. And we don't know what we don't know because we can't see it. But because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. But we're all energy. We are made up of more energy than we are matter. So it depends on where we are on this sort of this mortal coil right now as to how we behave. However, we do have that control over our behaviour. And anybody that is fearful, just try stepping out of that comfort zone. Because the comfort zone, it isn't. It's a silly word for it, really, isn't it? Because it's not a comfort zone at all. It's a zone that doesn't really take you anywhere. It keeps you doing the status present quo. And default. If you're happy with that, that's yeah, absolutely fine. However, if you want something to be different, you do have to step out. I mean, last year, my business went into administration. My son stopped speaking to me. I sell my car to pay my mortgage. Yeah, it was pretty brutal last year. But I survived. Still here. Hello.
Yeah, I've still got that T-shirt somewhere. I've been there as well. When you get to the bottom, it's there's nothing left. I remember the person who came to collect my BMW and put it on the back of a low loader. Mm-hmm. He started inspecting it and saying, "Oh, there's a chip here, and there's this here, and that there, and there's that there." And he said, "Are you okay?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You're smiling." I said, "Yeah." I said, I've just gone bust. You know, you can tell me whatever you like. It doesn't matter to me. All I want you to do is take the car away. It doesn't. Yeah, just go for it. Yeah. Don't bother me with this trivia about how much you're going to charge me for stuff. It's like you're not going to get any more money out of me.
Yeah.
So I kind of laughed. He was like, but people are normally angry with me. I said, well, you know, have a go. Treat this as your bonus day.
But what you've demonstrated there is that sort of. That's surrendering, and that's what I had to do probably two or three, four times last year, and even just recently I've had to surrender and get out of my own way. And that is something that is really important to sort of acknowledge and take note of, because we can't control stuff, you know, and when we try and control things, we're not in flow with our own energy. And that's when you start to come up against resistance and you're going, right, it's not happening. It's not how I wanted it to be. Yeah. Well, you might think it's not how you want it to be, but it's how it's meant to be. So when you sort of kind of go with this flow, and I very much trust now my sort of instinct, my intuition. It's not to say I don't have my moments. Like I said, just recently, because of all the things that have gone on last year, my sort of money that I've got is caught up into bricks and mortar. But in terms of a day-to-day income, it's not where it was, let's put it this way, 3 or 4 years ago. And I'm used to, and I have done for 40 odd years, you know, being able to be completely self-sufficient. And I've always been, you know, main contributor to household incomes. And when you're not, and when you're reliant upon somebody else, it's kind of like, this doesn't feel right. You know, I'm used to being able to do this, that, and the other. It was me that got the problem, not my partner. He was more than happy to continue paying because he can see what I've contributed in terms of the sort of what we're living in. But that doesn't mean to say it wasn't affecting me, but I had to get out of my own way. And that's where you surrender and you just let go. And the minute I let go, it's like you take that pressure off yourself, don't you? Like you let the car go. You know, I let the car go and it gave me a pot of money to keep paying the mortgage while we were trying to sell his house and my house so we could actually buy and move. So we weren't hemorrhaging money that I hadn't even got. But as I said, you know, if you don't step out there, if you don't do that, and I mean, I could have gone and got another job, but I'm self-employed. You know, I've got my coaching practice. I've just mentioned earlier, I'm on Insight Timer, and I actually have got another property that's rental income, but that's changed because mortgages have gone up. Thanks, Liz Truss. And I'm not going to be earning as much as that. Not that it was ever a property bought to earn an income. I'm a sort of an accidental landlord as a result of a previous relationship, and we couldn't sell the property then, and I took it on. But it is what it is. But you know, things will evolve. Things are evolving. We spoke prior to coming on, didn't we, in recording, and about materialism and things that we need and what's sufficient. And actually, as long as you're happy with life, there's so many different ways. Money becomes money's an energy that we need to buy things with to exchange. However, what we perceive that we need is usually governed by what people are telling us we want through marketing and media and all this sort of stuff. However, if you come back to thinking about yourself and what makes you happy, what really brings me the happiness is like when I went out for a trail run earlier, looking at the blossom on the trees, looking at the blue tits, looking at the nature, just actually being out there with my partner, enjoying it, stopping, taking pictures, having a kiss on the track, you know, just like enjoying ourselves, you know. And that's where the most pleasure comes in, and doing stuff in the garden. We go to this recycling tip with our garden rubbish, and they've got a shop there, and usually end up coming back with more that, you know. No, we talk. Yeah, because they're selling things that go. The money goes to charity, but there's some amazing stuff that people chuck out, and we've got some brilliant things for our house now that have cost us nothing. So who says you need to earn as much as you think you need to earn? Because you can acquire things in lots of different ways. It's just how you view. It comes down to perspective.
Yeah, that's what we're saying about sufficiency. It's mm-hmm. realizing that more is not necessarily better, and I.
No.
But a lot of this comes with age, doesn't it? I mean, I look back at my life and I used to say I was in my early 50s, and I said I was in my mid-50s, and now I guess I'm in my late 50s.
Yeah.
The trouble is next year I'll be starting with 60s. So, yeah, it comes around. But experience comes with age, and you go through a lot of hard knocks as you grow older. And I'm a great believer in that, you know, you don't grow and learn by getting it right. You grow and learn by making mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes you make the same mistake more than once. But yeah, it's. I think listening to your story and how you've described a lot of this is, some of it's been situational. You didn't predict it. You bumped into it, and oh well, yeah, shit happens, as they say, and you pick it up and deal with it, and then you become a serial person who is able to cope and deal with these things, mm-hmm. and you say, get up, dust yourself down, the weebles wobble, but they don't fall over, sort of thing, and mm-hmm. you've got to get back up again. And as we used to call it in the 90s, I think it was bounce back ability, that resilience that kicks in, isn't it? And that's...
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, as you say, with wisdom and age, wisdom, experience, you sort of get to a point of going, oh, do you know what? CBA can't be arsed. And you're right. You know, you build up a resilience. You do what's right for you. This is what, say, coming back to the sort of the kinks and the foibles and what have you again. It's about understanding yourself, accepting yourself, knowing what you like, what you don't like, not being bothered by what other people say. And I think as you are coming through sort of your teenage years into your 20s, you're acutely aware of peer pressure and wanting to fit in, and then sort of going through that sort of development, so meeting a partner, having a relationship, having kids and what have you. Then you come out the other side and you go, I'm going to be me. Going to be me. But it's all part of life, isn't it? Life is that journey. It's not about the destination at all. It's not about the acquiring of material possessions. Saying it's nice to have certain things, you know, but that should enhance your life and bring you joy, as opposed to being acquired and required purely for, you know, greediness or for show or for, you know, for any other reason. You know, I not that you would know. I mean, we're recording, you can see me. I haven't got any silver jewellery on. I have got so much silver jewellery. I love jewellery. When do I wear it? Very rarely these days, because you can't wear it when you've got earphones on. And then I've actually got bracelets and things like that on. They clonk when I'm on my keyboard. So just don't really wear what I've got. But I've got shiny object syndrome. It's like, oh, that's nice. So I acquire artwork instead that I can hang onto the walls. And my partner calls the house Sarah's Gallery, because I do have a habit of, oh, that's nice. In fact, we went and picked a picture up we'd seen on Facebook Marketplace. It was only a fiver. It's a really lovely, massive print for a fiver. And that's unusual for me, because I usually like original pieces of artwork. And the last piece I picked up was a nice little oil painting about, A4 size, something like that. I think it was £5 as well from the recycling centre. Hurrah!
Love it.
And I get a bit sort of like to look into and find out about artists. I've got all sorts of things that I've picked up in charity shops. And so I'm very much into sort of the whole recycling, repurposing, environmental. You don't need to buy all this stuff from new. The only reason so much is pumped out and manufactured is to line the shareholders' pockets. And all they want is more, when we don't need more. And all this more is causing all these problems environmentally. It's just madness. It's madness. There could be so many. Let's get back to sustainability, building things that are going to last. And, you know, if you want, we don't need it all, do we? Let's look at in other ways. Let's look after the planet. It's an amazing planet. It's a beautiful planet. Spend the money on conserving it, not raiding it. And
Yeah, when they took my car away, I kind of vowed to myself that I would never buy another car on finance or the never or any of these balloons or whatever other payment schemes there were. So I went out and bought myself I think it was an 18-year-old convertible. Okay, it's a nice 18-year-old convertible. It's a Mercedes.
Oh, nice.
But when you talked about life being a journey, I find that with the roof down, every journey becomes an adventure. You know, you're stuck in traffic on the N25. It's a horrible day, stuck going nowhere. But you know, you've got the roof down, the sun shining. You're sort of in touch with the world. Okay, maybe a bit of smog and a bit of pollution. But you know, I'm sort of sitting there with the roof down, music loud, just in my own world, looking at other people in their cars. They're all in this little box. They're all kind of trapped in. They're all kind of, I don't know. But since you've got the roof off, every journey becomes an adventure.
It becomes, it sounds amazing.
The journey becomes part of it. And I've had this car, 2 years? I had a little convertible mini before.
Nice.
And it's just the only way to travel. And my rule basically is it's never the wrong weather to have the roof down, except when you're parked. So as long as you're doing more than 50 miles an hour, the rain deflects over the top of the car and you don't get wet. As soon as you drop below 50 miles an hour, you then start to get very, very wet. So I drove back from, I think, Birmingham or further, down the A34, down the M42, M40, all those sort of places, in the pouring rain. I mean, literally, it was heaving it down. And you get a bit of rain going onto the passenger and the driver's side window. It sort of loops round with the vortex and flicks in your face occasionally. But largely, I was bone dry when I got back. It was only the traffic lights or the roundabouts that you had to kind of go, do I bottle it? No, I'm just going to push through. So I made it all the way back in the pouring rain. I say, as long as you keep above 55, 60 miles an hour all the way, you stay dry. So, yeah.
It sounds brilliant. It sounds invigorating. And that's really why we like going out trail running. I mean, today we went along on a disused railway line, which we wanted to find out, discover, which was nice and flat, made a change. But we'd love doing park runs, and we go out running along the seafront as well. I won't run on the beach anymore, because I did that, was that last year? I think it might. Yes, that was when my body was attacked as well, because I ran along the beach and you got on a camber. And when I went to see the physio, she said, I should see so many injuries from people running on the beach, because you can't get that same
stones and yeah.
So I won't do that anymore. But we know there's the promenade between Heacham and Hunstanton that we will run along as well. And it's just lovely being outside in nature. And that's why you were saying, you know, with the open, you know, the roof down, and you're with the elements, aren't you? And that's what's so exhilarating. And I, you know, coming back to the elements, I love the exhilaration of a thunderstorm and when it's properly raining. And I don't, you know, this sort of this drizzly stuff that makes you really wet, but you can't really see it. It's not so pleasant. But there's always something. There's always, you know, you can always look for the positive in everything. You know, chucking it down with rain, what can you do instead? Or if it's, there's always a positive. Always look for the positive. That's me.
Yeah, before our financial reboot about 7 or 8 years ago, we used to own an apartment on the water's edge near Portsmouth. And so we overlooked Portchester Castle, and it had a big bay in front of it. And I remember we used to sort of stand on our balcony, and when it was really, really windy, you could watch the seagulls flying backwards because they just couldn't, their heads people. So the grass was basically pushed back by the wind. But sometimes you'd stand there in a thunderstorm, a really torrential rain. And the way that the building was constructed, the rain used to stop like a right on the edge of the balcony. So you'd end up with this sheet of rain coming down in front of you, and you'd stand one step back. I'd been behind a waterfall. And so you could watch this rain, you could watch the weather, but in a sort of relative safety of being back far enough. And I used to love that, being in touch with nature, mm-hmm. and being able to touch it, if you like, without being in it. And the other thing I loved about it was, and I'm sure people who live in the countryside or other places realize this, your horizon is literally miles away, whereas most people's horizons in their back garden is their fence or the shed or another house or something. But living in a property where the horizon was literally miles away, and you could see fabulous. Out and the boats and the... So, yeah, it was like a screensaver every day. Something going on, people digging for bait or the trawlers or big super yachts coming into the marina, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's a lovely place to just be in touch with stuff happening. Yes, entertainment.
Yeah, it's amazing. Do you know what's just popped into my head right now as well? That Joni Mitchell song, put up a parking lot. You know, it's the paved paradise and put up a parking lot. And it's mad, isn't it? And that's exactly what we've been doing to the world. And we've got all this beauty around us, and it's all too quick to pave over it or put tarmac in. And don't get me on fake grass. It's like, no, seriously, no. And I was listening to the news on the radio, was it today or yesterday on the radio? And they were talking about, you know, obviously all the environmental issues. And I think the Thames Water, they were talking about the shareholders have probably taken off millions and millions and millions of pounds, don't want to invest any money into it unless they put up the bills to the local residents by 40%. It's just absolutely outrageous. Anyway, that aside, there was somebody that was talking and said that we've got to stop paving over things, because when we pave over things, the ground's not absorbing all the rain. This is why there's all the issues, because we need the ground, and that, all these new builds, it's causing chaos everywhere because the ground's been, you know, all that sort of soak away area is gone, and we then pave over it and there's nowhere for the water to go.
Yeah, speaking of, I think it was Thames Water, about the boat race this weekend, they're talking about not throwing the cocks in the water because of all the E. coli that's in the Thames at the moment. And you were talking about these microorganisms in the water, and I was watching on telly last night, someone had a beaker full of water, said there'll be billions of these E. coli bacteria in this water. I thought, blimey, and they were interviewing the crew afterwards and said, are you worried about E. coli? And I said, in the moment, we'll just dive in and we'll be fine. Yeah,
but you know what, I think we've also lived in too much of a sanitized world as well. There's been this sort of, oh no, we can't have bugs, we've got to sanitize everything. Well, we need to build up that resilience. We need to have kids have dirt in their fingernails and stick it in their mouth and get, it's all part of our bodies building up antibodies and being able to cope and survive. You sort of sanitizing everything. We don't live in that kind of world, do we? You know, and I wouldn't want to live in a hermetically sealed world. Like you were just talking about other people in the cars, just sitting there going, you can't see me, actually. I was just pulling a face.
Imagine driving along. Sarah holding the steering wheel and putting us like a goofy face. Yeah. That's the impression of people on the N25 in their car with the windows up.
Well, yeah, exactly. Now, and have you seen how many people grimace when they're driving as well and don't care about other drivers and the craziness of drivers as well? It's just like, oh, my God. Patience, people. But people are so in a rush to get places for some bizarre reason. You know, I'm not saying that I don't like to get to places from time to time, but it's just like, you know, if you are stuck in traffic, it's like, do you know what? Clearly wasn't meant to be. It's meant to be. Something's holding me back from getting to where I think I want to be at that particular point, but it's holding me back for a reason. Yeah. And it's understanding that and accepting that, that, you know, we'll get there.
On the news, there's been this story about this this shopkeeper who bought Easter eggs, and instead of buying a box, he bought 100 boxes or something. So, he's now shipping all over the world. And I think we've all probably got a story about how we want to order some bananas on our internet shopping, and instead of ordering a bunch, we end up with 10 bunches or 100 bunches or something. I mean, we've been there as well. The Tesco man's on the doorstep with a box full of bananas going, did you really order these? And we went, no, we didn't. No, we didn't. Just one, please. Or we'll hand them back. But anyway, over COVID, my wife, Marie, she did this with the hand sanitizer. She didn't send it back. So we end up with this crates of hand sanitizer everywhere. And it took a while for Marie to stop being addicted, I'll use that word addicted, to sanitization, where she felt the need to always be rubbing hand sanitizer into her hands, making sure that the soap we had in the sink and the bathrooms were all antibacterial. And we go out shopping, and she would zigzag around shops to the hand sanitizer stations throughout the shops, and having every time she goes, I have to do it. And it took her a long while to get used to the idea that she could exist in the world naturally without having to sanitize. And we get caught up in this overprotectionism, maybe.
Yes. No. But again, it's this external pressure, isn't it? I mean, it's a long time back now, but with all the inoculations and the jabs and things like that, I generally didn't want to have them. And I didn't, you know, working from home, and I wasn't socialising, didn't really see. I don't want to put all this stuff into my body. I really don't. I mean, let's face it, how long it takes them to usually test things, and suddenly they've got a solution. Don't think so. Anyway, that's going back into that time. But the reason I did was because I've got my parents in their 80s, and they're inoculating, and I needed to be able to see them. My dad had been in a care home at the time because he'd had a stroke, and there was all this sort of stuff going on. So I sort of had to go with the flow, but how good was it? How much did it? I don't know. There's you don't really know what you've put into your body, do you? A lot of heavy metals and things like that. And you've got to be really mindful. When you come back down to the sanitizer, all of this stuff that you're putting onto your hands gets absorbed and through your skin into your bones. And what are we doing to ourselves? You know, you've got to be really careful with all, not what I say. You have. I use body lotion all the time, but it is on my mind when I'm using body lotion and deodorants that it's keeping my epidermis nice and smooth. But actually, what's happening? What's happening to my body overall? You know, what am I actually putting on? How is it getting absorbed? Really ought to have something much more natural, because when you look at the ingredients on all these products, I think there's a whole issue of health. In fact, that's going off as another subject matter altogether about food. We eat. The Plant Paradox by Dr. Stephen Gundry is a very interesting book about how ailments have increased in line with food production and what people eat, particularly obviously this is in the States. And it's really interesting, the whole sort of foods that we eat that aren't good for our body, and the reason they're not, and how you can change them so that when you do eat them, your body's not rejecting them, and which is how you end up ill. And then the same thing comes about what we're putting on our bodies, and all the things and all the products all around us they're treated with this, they're treated with that, and we're breathing it all in, which is why when then you've got your roof off and you're out in nature, you feel so much better because you're not breathing in all the rubbish. Apart from when you're got your roof off in the M25 and you're next to an Arctic pumping out some diesel, I guess that's a little bit different. But
the convenience food industry has become, and I'm going to sound like a really crazy way of saying it, convenience food industry is convenient. And it's actually hard sometimes to have healthier options, to do different, because we're so ingrained now to click on it, shop on it, scan it, put it in our baskets. To actually start cooking from scratch is hard, is much harder My mum says
it is if you tell yourself that story and that dialogue, and that's what the food production companies want, because that's what they've marketed right from the, I mean, I remember having the Vesta meals back in the 70s. That was when the first curries came out. But I was very lucky. Both of my parents both cooked. Actually, when I left home, I didn't need to cook. My dad always used to cook really nice Chinese's and curries. My mum had done cooking, and all our meals were all cooked from scratch. And my gran obviously cooked, and that's historical. Then I had to learn to cook, and I enjoy cooking. You know, I really do. I end up getting too busy with doing other things. I go, and sometimes, like this week, you know, hands up, we had chips in the car in Hunstanton the other night because we'd been spent all day decorating. Then we'd been out to pick something up else we'd seen on Facebook Marketplace. And we just got to the chip shop in time. These chips and fish cake were just amazing. Following day, similar sort of scenario. And we ended up going into Tesco's and getting a meal deal. Other supermarkets are available. And it was just easy. But last night I grated up a couple of courgettes, zested a lemon, squeezed the lemon, chopped up some garlic, and pan fried the courgette with the garlic, with some chili seeds, and then put in some raw king prawns, cooked them up, and at the same time cooked some pasta, then mixed the two together. Really quick, really easy, and far healthier than the previous two nights' meals altogether. And diet and health and nutrition is very much on my agenda. Because I do enjoy cooking, but it's about putting boundaries in place. It's about going, do you know what? No, I need to stop at this particular point of the day. And I want to cook. I want to eat nice meals. Did porridge for breakfast this morning with chia seeds and with a chopped up pear, some broken up walnuts and some raspberries on top. But I made the porridge with water. So it was, you've not got the fat from the milk either.
That's lovely. I should come round one day.
Come round. We'll go for a walk through the woods and down across the nature reserve to the beach, which is
that's
nice.
Fantastic. I know
it's lovely.
I love that sort of thing. I mean, my wife and I, Mary, we're kind of our kind of exercise hobby is Natural Trust houses and things. So
lovely.
We love going for a walk around Natural Trust and just enjoy sitting in someone else's garden. Sometimes, you know, it's nice to sit inside a garden, watch the world go by. Have a wander around by the stream. You know, imagine you're a 19th century lord or ladies wandering around these places. It's nice. And
if you come up to see, we are only 3 miles from Sandringham, so you can go very upmarket, darling.
Terrific, absolutely, yes.
Have you ever watched The Windsors, the comedy series The Windsors?
No, never seen that one. We've done The Crown and those sort of things. Never been.
Watch The Windsors. Harry Enfield stars. And it's so, so, so funny. But there's a sketch, or in fact, if you hit YouTube, you could probably pick up a bit of it in there. It's Harry Enfield plays King Charles as he was Prince Charles when it was obviously all filmed. And it's the shop, effectively. It just makes me howl, because when we go into the shop at Sandringham, it's like, how much? How much? But in this sketch, the shop assistant is like fawning over him, going, "Oh, but you can add lots of extra noughts because people will buy it because it's you, it's yours," and it's just like it's almost like it's a parody on the reality, and it's just really funny. It's really funny, and the girls that play Beatrice and Eugenia, hilarious. Watch it, you will love it. You will love it. It's really, really, really funny.
Yeah, you're so right, because some of these places they do add the zero on because that's the market, and the other argument is, if you're not charging too much, then people wonder why you're not, or they don't see the value in it because, oh, hang on a minute, I couldn't possibly spend £10 on a scarf unless it's Hermes and it's £200. How can it be any good? You've sometimes got to price it to the shop, haven't you, as well?
Oh, it's mad, though, because, I mean, when you start to think about what things actually are, what you end up paying for is you're paying for the marketing. You're paying for the marketeers to tell you that you need to buy this product. That's what's so ridiculous. Yes, I understand. I mean, some products are clearly much better quality than other products. Totally get that. And then you are paying for the quality. And I would rather have the quality than something that's going to fall apart because, yeah, there is a great difference. But sometimes you go, really? I picked up a wooden coaster. A wooden coaster, and it got a picture of Sandringham House in the middle of it. How much do you think just a single wooden coaster with the picture of Sandringham House sort of effectively etched in the middle of it was?
£20.
Something like that, yeah. It's just, yeah. What? No.
Yeah.
Tea towels. It's just like £20 for a tea towel. Was it 20?
There's craftsmanship involved and some human craftsmanship. You can understand valuing someone's time. If it's mass produced or off a machine, it's literally you're paying for copyright or, as you say, marketing or branding or just being in the right place at the right time.
Oh, I know. It's just it's bonkers. And I mean, I like certain. I don't know. Okay, anyway. I've discovered Vinted now. Anyway, I'm a bit of a Vinted addict. it's a great way of repurposing, getting quality items at a cost, at a reduced price. And you're freed up to, if you really do want to go and spend big money on things, you can do. I really shouldn't have bought a latex dress the other day, but hey-ho, it's very nice.
Yeah, but you've got an Instagram
account. I need new jeans, though, Joe. I'll have more time opportunities to wear a pair of jeans I could have bought when three pairs of mine are ditched. A latex dress. Honestly.
Yeah, but a latex dress is like business. It's not just pleasure. It's business as well. It's part of your channel, your followers.
It is. And watch out. I will be launching out as the leadership and latex speaker at some point this year. I'm looking forward to getting a keynote delivered in that area about all the things we've been talking about, about being yourself and embracing
in this latex dress, I hope.
Well, it's translucent, maybe not. Big pants underneath, I'll be all right.
Big pants.
Nip into Marks and go and get myself pants some underneath. Pants.
Is that the brand you're looking for? Latex dress and big pants?
It's a winner.
Maybe start another Instagram channel. Yeah, big pants and latex or something.
Well, do you know what? It's probably a thing. Maybe fishnets in the dress and a pair of pleaser boots. There we go. How about that? Have you seen pleaser boots? Do you know what they look like?
Go on and describe it.
Oh, they're huge. They're a bit like the stripper heels you can get. They're massive. They've got like about, I don't know, almost like 10-inch heels on them, but they've got platforms. But the fact that they're a boot and they lace up, they stay on your feet, so you cannot.
Well, kinky boot type thing, like a kinky boot.
Yeah, a bit like that. But they're great. I've got a pair in red and a pair in purple. I would like some more. I do covet some more, but.
You don't wear them when you're out for a walk or a jog.
No. We have done a latex shoot on the beach. We did it about 0 degrees in January. It was very liberating and very invigorating and very bracing all at the same time. Because when you're wearing latex and it's cold, you might as well not be wearing anything.
Yeah, I can imagine it's probably okay for wind protection, but not very much good for insulation, though, is it?
No insulation at all. No, it just goes cold. But on a hot day when you're wearing it, because it changes to your body temperature. Yeah. So, yeah, you can get, invariably, when if we've taken some photographs at home and the heating's been on and it's like, oh my God, so just like dripping is all I can say.
So you use lots of talcum powder, presumably.
Well, it's dressing aid. It depends on the item. Yeah. Sometimes we use talc, and other times dressing aid. So you can have a special dressing and then obviously polish it all as well. And it looks shiny, shiny, shiny.
I'm so curious. I haven't checked your Instagram account but I'm definitely going to be.
Have you got your phone to hand, Joe?
I have. Yes.
You could look at it. I did tell you what it was called. You could have a look at it now, and then let the listeners all hear your your.
Right, so there's our IG. Okay, we're going to go Lucy.
Yeah, L-U-C-Y.
Latex.
Lucy loves.
Lucy loves latex.
Yeah.
There we go. Da-da-da-da-da.
Joanne's looking very.
Is that you?
Intently at the screen.
That's not you, though, is it?
No, that's not me. Oh,
that's somebody else loves latex. There's a similar account. Okay, I've found.
There are people that steal my stuff and put it on Twitter and say Facebook underneath other people's names. I keep on having to report things and have it taken down. It's horrible. People steal your content and it's just that. Have you found me? Yes, that's me. C'est moi.
Ah, I see. So you've got the The yes. burgundy latex dress.
Yep. Rubber corset.
Those are the pleaser boots, are they?
They are. Yeah. Yes, indeed.
I was going to say, I recognise your glasses, but they're not even the same glasses.
No, I've got pink ones on in that photo. Yeah. I did have those on earlier when I went running because they're lighter weight.
Right, well, there we go. I mean, for anyone who's is listening and you can't see these, I recommend you. It's Lucy Loves Latex.
Thank Instagram. You so much. And, yeah. Now the world knows.
Yeah. And we're not afraid to tell people. You know, we've lost that inhibition to hold that back. And
exactly.
I guess that's the message, isn't it? Yeah. Kinks
yeah,
and all.
Be yourself. Just step out. Be yourself. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? I was actually approached last year by a journalist, and we had a double page spread in a magazine. That's life. Oh, it's fun. Honestly, is it hurting anybody? No. Do we look good? Yeah. Hell yeah. Do we have fun? Loads of it. Do we do it all the time? No. But does it give us enjoyment? Yes. So do stuff, folks, that brings you joy, brings you happiness. It doesn't hurt anybody. If you're not doing something deliberately to hurt anybody else, you know, do it. Do it. Be happy. Be in flow. Have fun and laugh a lot. That's what I'd say.
Yeah, this one here has got 20,000 views, watches. Yeah, so
one of mine's had 10 million views.
10 millions! Wow,
10 million views. And another one's had 2 million. The more recently, I think they've been Instagram haven't been sharing latex clad content because a lot of the people I know who wear latex and have got latex channels on there, their content's not been shared beyond their followers much. Why I don't know. However, it is what it is. Again, I've had to get out of my own way on that front because actually we do it because we have fun doing it. We enjoy doing it. So therefore, don't worry about the volume of followers, although I think there's about 62,000 on there at the moment. But it's a bit of light-hearted fun.
For sure. So I was going to say your alter ego, but that's not alter ego. It's just part of your ego.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
What are the other parts, you know, the other quadrants of who you are? How do people get hold of you?
Gosh, well, I'm all sorts of everything. So you can find me over on LinkedIn, Sarah J. Naylor. And you can find me on Insight Timer as Sarah J. Naylor. I'm on YouTube as Sarah J. Naylor. I'm actually now known as the Norfolk Coastal Coach. I've recreated a brand because I do walk and talk coaching along the seafront. And I've added that. So that is I've got a website that is the Norfolk Coastal Coach.co. Shall I start again? The Norfolk Coastal Coach.co.uk, which takes you over to my sarahjnaylor.com website. So you can find out all about me on there. I've written a book, Shining a Light on You, How to Manifest Your Dream Job, which is also turned into a digital course. And what else have I done? I've got this, I keep this stuff that I've done that I forget that I've done. I've got, my podcast, you see, Harnessing Happiness with Sarah J. Naylor. It is on pause at the moment, but it's been downloaded 42,000 times in over 130 countries. There's 155 episodes out there, so you can access that as well. And yeah, I'm generally, if you just put Sarah J. Naylor or the Norfolk Coastal Coach into the search engine, you're guaranteed to find me. And if you really would like to go and have a look at Lucy Loves Latex, you'll find me over there as well.
And it even looks like you. So, yeah.
It does. That's
double authentic, yeah.
And if you see anybody who looks like me and hasn't got Lucy Loves Latex, it's somebody else stealing my content.
Yes. There's
a lot of people that take it and steal it. And there's somebody on Facebook that's purporting to be me. There's somebody on X, which is obviously Twitter, purporting to be me, and they're not. So if you question it, you'll know it's me because it's me. If it's so question mark,
the real
it's not.
Lucy Loves Latex, not these imposters.
No, exactly. But otherwise, I'm Sarah J. Naylor or the Norfolk Coastal Coach.
Yes. And no one's impersonating Sarah J. Naylor. Just
no. I am me. Well, do you know what the frustrating thing is that it's conning other people, but then if people are allowing themselves to be conned, you can't fight other people's battles for them, because I could spend huge amounts of time trying to battle it all, and what would happen is somebody else would pop up doing something else. So I just get on and do my thing and do what I can when I can, but I'm not going to spend hours and hours and hours. That's not my fight.
Incredible. Thank you so much. For those who are listening, you've got the details, you know where to contact Sarah J. Naylor or Lucy Loves Latex if you wish. So thank you.
Amazing. Thank you. That's brilliant. I loved it. It's been absolute joy, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me as a guest.
As we bring this conversation to a close, I want to express my deepest gratitude to you, our listener, for lending your ear and heart to the cause of inclusion. If today's discussion struck a chord, consider subscribing to Inclusion Bites and become part of our ever-growing community, driving real change. Share this journey with friends, family, and colleagues. Let's amplify the voices that matter. Got thoughts, stories, or a vision to share? I'm all ears. Reach out to joe.lockwood@seachangehappen.co.uk and let's make your voice heard. Until next time, this is Joanne Lockwood, signing off with a promise to return with more enriching narratives that challenge, inspire, and unite us all. Here's to fostering a more inclusive world, one episode at a time. Catch you on the next bite.